Lots of times I felt like there was no reason even to live. I thought about suicide at times when I felt like there was nothing to live for. What was the reason for life? I felt there was no reason for life at all. Why continue this torturous existence when I could just go off into oblivion and not have to think about it?
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories, true stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
My name is Edna Shugak. I'm a Dena'ina Indian from the Lake Iliamna area. Iliamna Lake is the largest lake in Alaska. We live on the northeast part of the lake in a small community called Pedro Bay. My dad and mom were the first ones ever to live there. They came there and used it as a trapping place, and people just came and moved in around them until it became a community. And today it's a very modern community with running water and electricity, and everyone has vehicles and roads. I grew up there most of my life. My dad died when I was 5 years old. My brother was three. We were the two youngest ones of a family of eight children. I didn't know some of my siblings because they died before I was born. My dad was educated, and so he was commissioner, which means that was before this Alaska became a state. It was a territory. So he was like the law in the area. He married and buried people and took care of crimes that occurred around there. So I guess he was educated, and he had a lot of influence in the area there. So he was one of the richer men also because of the jobs that he took and things that he did. When he died, and I was five, he died of strokes, and he had a series of strokes. The last one killed him, but before that, he thought that he could find someone to heal him. So he spent all his money looking for a cure and going from doctor to doctor, leaving the village and living in towns and stuff. By the time he died, we were pretty much penniless. My mom was not a person that knew how to work. She had always lived in the woods. She was a woodswoman. She knew how to trap. She knew how to run a team of dogs. She knew how to shoot a spruce in through the eye. She knew how to fish and put up fish for the dogs. She knew all how to live in the bush, but she did not know how to live in the city or to make money. So growing up, my brother and I were pretty much really, really poor. And the things that my sisters and brothers took for granted when they grew up, we never knew any of that. Instead, my mom would look for jobs in the summertime in order to get enough oil to get through the winter and to get enough food. When I was 14, I had gone away to high school. And when I came back, she said that, well, now that you're gone away to school, you know how to do things. So we're going to go down to Bristol Bay and we're going to go commercial fishing. And you're going to be the one in charge of it, since you're 14 now. So we went down there with my uncle, her sister, and her husband on a fishing boat. It was a two-day journey. When we got there, she told me I was to go into the office and sign up for a fishing permit, for the licenses, for getting a fishing boat, the nets and all the material, all the grub, all the food, and the nets and everything. So I did. I went in there and I put my name on the dotted line, and I'd run out and ask my mom, well, how about this? And she'd say, yeah. And so I'd run back in there and say, that's what I want, yeah. And she stood outside while I did this. And so at 14 years old, I signed up to go commercial fishing down in Bristol Bay, salmon fishing. And we did that for 4 years, every year I was in high school. And at the end of 4 years, I began to go to college in Anchorage. My mom died that year, and I went back home to Pedro Bay and didn't go to any more college, but I came back out to Anchorage, and I had a friend that had determined that I was going to marry him, and he was a Christian, and he decided that in order for me to marry him, that I had to be a Christian also. And we went to this guy's house, and he told me something that I remember clearly even now, and that he said that if I were to die, where would I go, heaven or hell? And I said, I was pretty sure I would go to hell. And he said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? And I knew my mom, that she didn't trust in the Lord, and she had just died, and it was very fresh in my mind. So I didn't want to go to heaven. But because of my mom dying and me pretty much being by myself, there was really no one there for me. I know that this man said that he loved me, but I didn't reciprocate. It was just someone to hang around with because I was by myself. And he said, you know, no matter what you do, God loves you because you are his creation. And he loves you. If you were the only person on earth, he would have still sent Jesus Christ to die for your sin. And because of that, I understood that God really loved me, that it was someone that loved me more than I could even fathom. And because of that, I accepted Christ. However, I never grew in the Lord, and didn't know anything about how to live as a Christian. I left Pedro Bay after a while and moved to Anchorage and attended school out here and did various jobs. And after my mom died, she was my only parent since my dad died when I was 5 years old, and I don't remember my dad hardly. When my mom died, I lost those years. My memory has failed me, and I think I had gone into a sort of shock and didn't understand what was going on around me. I know that I was different places and did certain things, but I never really could recall where I was or what I did, what years things happened or anything. When I was 27, 28 years old, I began to go to Anchorage Native New Life Fellowship here in Anchorage, and there I learned again anew how God loved me, and he had been pursuing me this whole time and wanting me to live for him. And I rededicated my life to him at that time, and really and truly began to live for the Lord. I met my husband there at those meetings, and we were married in 1978. We lived in a little log cabin when Don and I were first married, the log cabin that I grew up in and that my dad had built for the family, because when my mom died, she left me and my brother the land. So we lived in a log cabin. It was lined with, so the wind didn't really blow through, but it was not a very warm place. We had to carry water from the lake in order to have water. And on our honeymoon, when Don and I were married, we went down there for our honeymoon, and Don had to chop through the ice, 4 feet of ice, in order to get to the water, in order to carry water. And then it turned out that he made the water hole in the wrong place, and he hit dry. It was dry right there. So then he had to work another whole day in order to chop through another 4 feet of ice in order to reach water, and we reached water then. We had a little tiny stove that burned the wood really fast and didn't throw much heat, and you had to get up every 2 hours in order to put wood in there when it was like 20 and 30 below at night. That was the way I grew up, and I lived most of my life like that till maybe 5 or 10 years after we got married. Then we got a house with running water and electricity. We lived in various places in Alaska, and he became a teacher and a preacher and then an oil field worker, and we lived in all the different places according to where his job led him. We had 2 children, and as I got older and began to know Don a little better, I understood that he had an anger problem. We We lived for many years not understanding really what it was about. He didn't treat me very well at times. He would get angry at different things that I did, always accusing me of things being my fault and of trying to do things my way, not respecting him. He was jealous of anyone that came into our home or that I talked to if it was a man. He accused me of different things throughout the years, and because he was a preacher, I felt like I could not let anyone know that the way Don treated me, and so we lived like that for many years. He was not kind to the children a lot of times. He spoke to them in ways that I thought was where they felt like they were worth nothing. And there came a time in our lives where after like 28 years of being married, our children were just out of high school, that I felt like I could not handle him being so cruel to his son, that he could not even do well in school, or felt like he could do nothing, that he was worthless. So I prayed about this and asked the Lord what I should do. I spent many sleepless nights wondering and praying about what I should do. And one night I just came to the conclusion that even if I were a perfect woman and I would do everything right and Don could find no fault in me, he would still find that I was doing something wrong. So from that conclusion, I decided that this problem was not mine, that it was Don's, that he had a problem with anger and he could not control himself. There was a lot of times when he went into a rage and he did not even remember things that he did or things that he said. And a lot of times it was really cruel, and he did things that, as a Christian man, that he shouldn't have done. So I told him that I would not leave him, but that he had a choice as to whether he should keep his anger and live by himself, or he could face the fact that he had an anger problem and he could live with us and he would have to take care of it. And at that time, Don understood then that when I gave him that ultimatum, that there was something seriously wrong with him. So he asked the Lord to take away that anger, and God did. So our lives have been radically changed by that. Now we go out throughout the state of Alaska, speaking about this to various groups and letting them know that there is a way that you can live and be honoring to God in your life. You don't have to live a secret life. Your family doesn't have to feel guilty about things that the dad said or someone with an anger problem in the family has said, but that you could honor God every day and not think about giving in to this strong emotion that just tears the family apart. I didn't understand why my husband was angry, actually. I never understood what was wrong with him. I knew that as the oldest of 10 children, that they all had this, like, they got angry very fast. All you had to do was say something wrong and everyone would just be angry. You know, they would just stop speaking to you or just turn around and walk away and never speak to you for days sometime. And Don, I understood that he was angry, but I never really understood why he was angry until we start going to Family Wellness Warriors Initiative meetings and he starts speaking about, well, actually the first one was Rising Above, and he talked about how he felt like his dad had abused him when he was young. But I didn't understand that it brought anger on him until when we went, and this was about 10 years later that we started going to Family Wellness, that I understood that the way his dad had put him down constantly and always making like he was not worth anything. And actually, that was the same thing that Don was doing to his children. Actually, he was raising them the same way that he was raised, making them angry because he would get after them if they did good, get after them if they did wrong, making like they could never do anything right. And so that generated anger in their lives. And when I saw how they were becoming, that's when I gave Don the ultimatum. Since Don has taken care of his anger and we have, sat the kids down, both of our kids who are in their 20s now, and asked their forgiveness for things that we have done to them, the way that, we have made them angry and made them feel like they could not do anything right, made them feel like they were worthless and, you know, so we have asked forgiveness for things and told them that if there was any times in their lives when they felt like we had put them down, that they were to tell us and we would then talk about it. And the kids did. They could remember specific times in their lives when we did something to them that made them really feel worthless. And at that time, then, of course, everyone was crying and we asked forgiveness for it. And even though, maybe they can't just forgive, you know, at the snap of a finger, yet over time that they can see that we both have changed in our lives and that they can trust us now. Because when there is anger in your lives, there is no trust. You cannot trust the person that will turn on you at any moment. There is no intimacy with your husband because you feel like you don't know him and he doesn't even want to know you and he thinks that you're worthless. So this has been building in our family so that we feel like we can be a family now. Don has even become a real brother to his brother, who has actually turned to the Lord also and taken care of his anger problem, and the family is getting closer. Don is actually becoming more a part of the family now. They're turning to him, whereas before they could not even stand to have him around. Now they're happy to be with him and they can laugh and have a good time, and it's really like a family instead of just a couple angry people getting together. God has just so radically changed our lives. It's unbelievable. I feel like this is a life that he has set us free. He has taken the boundaries away from us, our fences we have put up to protect our hearts from being hurt. He has changed us so radically. It is unbelievable. Now Don and I can enjoy ourselves, each other. We can share things that mean something to each other instead of me always being careful to not tell him something that I think he will get upset about, but I can tell him anything now, and he accepts it, and he takes responsibility for things that he would never take responsibility for before. It is a life radically changed by God for both of us, a family. There's a verse in Isaiah that the Family Wellness Warriors Initiative, there's a chapter actually that talks about, I think it's Isaiah 6, and it talks about that he will turn the ashes of our lives to beauty, and that's what he has done. The ashes that were cold and worthless, he has turned to beautiful. And we, as a part of the everything that we do, we have the fireweed on a lot of our logos and stuff, because fireweed comes up first after the ashes, after there's a fire, and it's a beautiful red flower. And so that's the flower that we put on everything, because it's the most beautiful flower after ashes, after a fire. God has said in Isaiah that, you know, he will make us oaks of righteousness, which he has done. He has made us free, free to love him, free to understand him, free to pursue him, and free to live for him. It is a life that is worth living now, instead of just a life that is a sad and sorry one. Not knowing God, I didn't know God for, I didn't have God in my life for many, many years. Even after I came to know him at 18 and actually accepted him as my savior, and I never lived for the Lord until I was like 28 years old. That all that whole time that I lived, I was I lived by myself. I was a lonely person. I couldn't understand how the world worked, why there was sin in the world, why people were not kind to each other. I couldn't understand the countries fighting each other, and there just seemed to be such chaos in the world, and I could not understand it. It was like there was a film before my eyes, and I was not given understanding about how things worked. I just lived in my own little world. It was like I just had tunnel vision. I just could see not just a day, not just a week, not just a month down the road, but just a very short time before me, just to live in order to get my next meal, to live in order to pay the rent for another month. There was no reason, no rhyme to life. I felt like, lots of times I felt like there was no reason even to live. I thought about suicide at times when I felt like there was nothing to live for. What was the reason for life? I felt there was no reason for life at all. Why continue this torturous existence when I could just go off into oblivion and not have to think about it? Then I learned that, there is God. God made the world. In Genesis it said, God made the heavens and the earth. The first words in Genesis is, in the beginning, God. It just says that there is God. And to understand that is to be given great understanding and wisdom to know that there is a being greater than us, a creator that has created this earth, that he has made man to live on it, and that he made man to have a relationship with him, that he made man to reflect his glory back to him. And when we turn away from that and live a life that is meaningless, without hope, then there is nothing for us. Only by turning to God and seeing that he is and that he loves us and that he sent his son to die for us is our life given any meaning. It gives us understanding in our minds. We can understand. We can ask for understanding to read the Bible and to understand that. We can ask for understanding to be friends with people and to befriend them and to help them. And our lives are given meaning because of God in our lives. And it's the most greatest and wonderful gift that he's ever given us beside life, is to give us new life, a new life that is, that when he sets our spirit alive in him, then we are truly given everything that we need. We don't need anything else. If you've been listening to my story and you feel like there is no reason for you to live, that there is no hope in your life, that there is no meaning to anything that you do, you can turn to God and ask Christ to be your Savior. You can ask forgiveness for your sin, and he's just waiting for you to turn to him because he loves you.
It's true, my friend. God loves you, and he has made a way for you to be right with him. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for our sins and then raised him from the dead so that we could have this new life you've just heard about. Listen to Jesus' words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Want to know more? Please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. You can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Want to take The Storyteller with you? Be sure to download our app. Thanks for listening, and remember, the greatest story took place at the cross, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.